All right, let's turn in our Bibles this morning again back to the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Last Sunday we began in the first of this 10th chapter, and we're speaking about the very much the same thing that JT was just talking to us about earlier this morning, how that God provided for these people everything that they needed, even in that wilderness, Sister Joyce. There was nothing out there. There was no water out there. There couldn't have been anything else because there was no water. So here they are out in the middle of nowhere.
If you look at down that rock.
Yeah. What in the world are we going to do? But God showed Himself as He is the Almighty, Sovereign God and Savior. But He says also that with many of them, God was not well pleased, for He overthrew them in the wilderness. Why wasn't He pleased with them? Because they were unthankful. Because they soon forgot, and not only did they forget God, but what is it that He says? He says that they were idolaters. And here's what the whole point is. Paul is bringing these things to our mind. He brought it to the mind of the church at Corinth in his day, in their day. Not for the sake of those that were overthrown in the wilderness, but for the sake of those that were hearing it at the present. And so it is that he brings this to our mind today, that what happened to them, their actions and reactions toward God should be an example for us today. That what? That we should not lust after the things, the evil things. Isn't that amazing? How can food and water and clothing be evil things? Well, of course, they in themselves are not evil things. But it was the attitude of the people that they sought after those things before they sought after God. As we were reminded again last Sunday afternoon, over in Matthew chapter 6, we are admonished to do what? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, normally speaking again, God does add these things. Well, that's pretty general, isn't it? That in itself ought to tell us about how much God is concerned about our carnal needs in relationship to our spiritual needs. They're nothing. They're just things. But normally, these things God provides because of the curse through our daily toil, right? For by the sweat of the brow ye shall earn your daily bread. But in that wilderness, what good was it going to do them to work with their hands? I can just see them out there now plowing that desert. But God knew that, didn't He? And the point is that God had already provided. It wasn't sneaking up on God that they needed food to eat and water to drink, nor that they needed protection by day and protection by night. But that which is of the earth is earthy, isn't it? And so it was with the vast majority of these people of Israel, is that they simply were looking at things from a carnal viewpoint and not from the viewpoint of God. So what did they do? They became idolaters. As he says in verse 7, neither be ye idolaters as were some of them, as is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Now, as we pointed out last Sunday morning, then follows these other things. Neither let us commit fornication. Verse 8 and verse 9, neither let us tempt Christ. Verse 10, neither murmured ye as some of them also murmured and were destroyed as serpents, and so on. You see, idolatry is not just idolatry, is it? It brings on many different sins. But the greatest of these is idolatry. And this is what the Lord is warning us, admonishing us against, if we have the ears to hear. Right? Now, would it be good advice to every single solitary soul on the face of this earth? It would. If they could hear. But can they? No, they can't hear. Their eyes, their ears are closed. They're deaf. They cannot see. They're blind. And their hearts are dead in trespasses and in sins. And so they cannot conceive or understand these things. But what about us? The warning then is for us. Isn't that what the apostle says? He says, now these things are happened unto them for examples, and they are written for what? For our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. In verse 6, he says, now these things were for our examples, to the intent that we should not lust again after evil things as they also lusted. Now we went on through verse 13 of this 10th chapter. And verse 12, for instance, he says, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth do what? Take heed lest he fall. This is essentially the same warning as he gives in the second letter to the church at Corinth when he admonishes them to examine themselves. Or it's the same basic warning, admonition that Peter gives us when he says, so make your calling and election sure. It's the same basic warning that Christ gives to the churches in Asia when he says, let him that hath an ear to hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now, again, we oftentimes wonder, well, why does God put these things in the Bible if people can't hear? Well, he doesn't put them in the Bible for the people that can't hear. He puts them in there for us that can hear if God has given us an ear to hear and a heart to perceive and to understand. Why? Because we do have this tendency, this proneness to leave the God that we love. It goes back again to the 107th Psalm. How often? And yet there is a difference. You see, there are some that come so close. As Christ said to that one man, thou art not far from the kingdom of heaven. As he warns us in Hebrews chapter 5 and in Hebrews chapter 10. There are some that come so close. As Peter warns us. Because there are some that have clean escaped. But then they are overcome again. And the dog returns to his vomit, and the sow returns to her wallow. But why? It's not because they were once saved and now they're lost. It's because they never understood. They had much light, but and Brother Bruce and I were talking about this on the way to Cheetah yesterday afternoon, and we were talking about that verse, if the light that be in them be darkness, how great is that darkness? So this is where we find ourselves here. We are the ones that Paul is addressing here, that God is being gracious and merciful to here. We that have ears to hear, because there is always that danger. As long as we live in this world, there will be that danger. There will be temptations. There will be trials that we must endure. And it's by the Word of God, the admonition of the Lord, and His chastening that brings us through these trials and causes us to indeed persevere, and through which we are indeed preserved unto that day. But do not think, dearly beloved, that you have the strength in you. It's not there. That's why we call upon the name of the Lord. But all right, there's no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. But God is what? He is faithful. Aren't you glad? Do you not thank God that He is faithful? Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. So, having thus said, through the first 13 verses of this 10th chapter, we pick it up at verse 14, and here's what he says, wherefore, referring back then to the first 13 verses, he says, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men, judge ye what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold, Israel after the flesh. Are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What say I then? That the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Ye cannot, notice this, ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Whatsoever is sold in the shambles, that eat, asking no question for conscience' sake. For the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and ye be disposed to go, whatsoever is set before you, eat, asking no question for conscience' sake. But if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake that showed it, and for conscience' sake. For the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. Conscience, I say, not thine own, but of the other. For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? For if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that for which I give thanks? Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give none offense, neither to the Jew, nor to the Gentile, nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I include this first verse of chapter 11, because I believe that it really does properly belong with chapter 10. But whether that be so or not, whether that's the proper division, it's really immaterial, isn't it? It still stands for the truth. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now, let us go back, though, to verse 14. This is a very striking verse, a very forceful verse, if you will, as far as I'm concerned. It's a short verse, but sometimes the shortest ones are the more forceful ones, aren't they? The shortest verse, what is the shortest verse in the Bible? But how forceful is that? Have you ever really thought about it? How that Jesus wept. But here's another short verse. So what does it say? Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Don't just walk away from it. Don't wait to get away from it, but to flee from it. Run as though your life depended on it, because it does. Flee idolatry. What is the first commandment? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all of thy soul. But you see, idolatry is exactly the opposite and diametrically opposed to the love of God. And in fact, idolatry is really, let me say it again, where all other sins come from. It is the fountain from which all other sins come. If God is the fountain of all godliness, then idolatry is the fountain of all ungodliness. What an amazing thing it is. We've already been hearing about how that we're prone to wander from God. But, dearly beloved, do you understand this? There is no such thing as an atheist, in the sense that there's no such thing as a person that does not worship something or someone. You either worship God or you worship devils. Isn't that applied in the text here? It is implied. It's implied here in this text. As Paul says, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. But it's implied that if you don't do one, if you don't partake of the cup of the Lord, you'll partake of the cup of devils. But Israel is our example, isn't it? Now we could go to all kinds of places in the Old Testament, in the history of Israel, and we could see how that they went after idols. But I want to take us back to Deuteronomy chapter 32. In the first part of Deuteronomy chapter 32, here's what he says. Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. In other words, it's not from a lack of knowledge. It wasn't that the people didn't know. Did not Israel know? Oh yes, they knew. All the ends of the earth. Everybody knew, in fact. Not only Israel, but everybody knew. He says, because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. This is what they knew, but then look at the next verse. They have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. They are a perverse and crooked generation. Now, in the next several verses, beginning at verse 7 there at least, going down through verse 14, again God rehearses the goodness, his goodness toward the people of Israel. But then in verse 15, he says, but Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Now, if anybody thinks that carnal, material, physical prosperity is going to bring someone to God, this should be enough to correct that misunderstanding. But if it's not, then study the rest of the scriptures and you will see all the way over in the New Testament, for instance, in the 6th chapter of 1 Timothy, what does Paul say? He says that they that will be rich are drawn to God? No. They fall into great temptation and they are led into perdition. And that's what happened here. But Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat, thou art grown thick, thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God which made him and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. They provoked him to jealousy. Now what did Paul ask over here in verse 22? Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? No, it didn't need an answer, did it? It didn't need a verbal answer. It's a rhetorical question, as we would say. But here's what he says. They provoked him jealousy with what? Strange gods. What is that? That's idolatry, isn't it? With abominations provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed unto who? Devils. What did we find in our text? The things that the Gentiles sacrificed, they sacrificed to devils and not to God. Verse 21, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. But you see, that's what they were trying to do. But that's natural man, isn't it? You remember when Paul in the 17th chapter of Acts was on Mars Hill? What did he find there? He found statues to who? To every conceivable god that there was, and just in case they missed one. To the unknown God. But that's the sad part of it, isn't it? Man always misses the one. But why do they miss him? Because he's hidden. Because the natural man knoweth not the things of God. they're spiritually discerned. They sacrificed unto devils, not to God, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. Of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful, and hast forgotten God that formed thee. There is just a very comprehensive, condensed but comprehensive description of the condition of Israel as a whole. And this is what the apostle is telling us here in this chapter. He's telling us to flee idolatry. Now, idolatry takes many forms, doesn't it? But in essence, again, it's any time that we forget God because we're going to worship something or someone. In other words, something or someone is going to have our hearts. But as for the people of God, the ones that have ears to hear, or as Paul speaks here in verse 15 of our text, I speak as to who? Wise men. Who is a wise man? It's those that fear God, right? It's those that fear God. He's speaking unto you and to me then, if we are wise, if we have been made wise in the Lord, and what are we to do? We're to flee idolatry. Because you cannot serve both God and Mammon, right? You cannot drink both the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Now what is he saying here? He's saying, and he's using again Israel as an example. What does he say? Behold Israel after the flesh. Are they not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? In other words, whoever partakes of the sacrifice is identifying himself with the God to whom the sacrifice is made. Now, if you are partaker of the Lord's table, then you are identifying with the body and blood of Christ, and you are identifying with the God to whom that body and blood was sacrificed. But if you partake of that which is sacrificed unto idols, then you are identifying with the God of that sacrifice, unto whom that sacrifice is made. Now, in reality, and how can I say this that it's not taken wrong? In reality, as Paul said over in chapter 8, we know that there's only one. What kind of God?
True
God. But you know, there is another one that is called the God of this world, right? We find that over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, right? whom the God of this world hath done what?
Blinded.
So here's the thing. We're either going to be worshiping and identifying with the one true God, the God of heaven, or we're going to be identifying and worshiping the God of the world. And who is that?
Satan.
But you can't worship both of them. Right? Now, what does this mean for you and for me? I mean, we don't go anywhere. Let me back up a minute. There are places in this world, there's still places in this world where they make sacrifices, literal sacrifices to idols. You understand that? You and I don't go to those places, though, do we? Have you ever been to any place where they sacrificed a pig, for instance, to some god, some idol? No, you've never been anywhere like that. So what does this have to do with us then? We're not going into some place like that. Not more than likely we won't. But if we did, what would you do? You would not partake of that sacrifice, would you? Because if you did, then what would you be doing? You would be fellowshipping with devils. But you know, there is a way that even if we don't go to those kind of places, there is a way to sacrifice or eat those sacrifices that are offered unto devils. When we deny our God and Savior, what are we doing? Are we not identifying with devils? Brother Bruce was telling me the other day, I guess it's, I forgot exactly when, it maybe was last Sunday, I don't remember, anyway, not important when, but he was telling me that this Campus Crusade for Christ, y'all all heard of that, I'm sure, that they have dropped Christ out of their name. Why? Because they're trying to entice the world. They're making merchandise of men. But folks, in a sense, what are they doing? They're sacrificing. Actually, they're sacrificing Christ, aren't they? To the God of this world. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you want to be identified with the Campus Crusade? Do you want to partake of that sacrifice? I don't think so. Do you see what I mean? Now, you know, again, it can take all kinds of forms, but the point is that if we succumb to this world, we are succumbing to the God of this world, and we are in effect partaking of that sacrifice that is offered unto devils. Flee from idolatry, because it's going to lead you into every vice. It's going to lead you into every sin. It's going to lead you into every abomination that is opposed to the worship of God. And that's the point. That is the point. Are we going to provoke God to jealousy? They did. We read that, didn't we? They provoked God to jealousy. And His anger was kindled against them. Now, again, God is long-suffering, isn't He? What does that mean? It means that He doesn't always immediately vent His anger. In fact, the writer of Ecclesiastes tells us right straight out, because God doesn't immediately judge, the hearts of men are fully set in them to do evil. But we ought to be wise and flee idolatry. Thou shalt have no other gods before Me. Don't bring them into My sight. I am the Lord, that is My name, and My glory will I not give unto another, and neither My praise to graven images. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils, or be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. That's what the Israelites were trying to do. Look with me in Ezekiel chapter 23. Ezekiel chapter 23, we began reading at verse 36. It said, "The Lord said moreover unto me, Son of man, wilt thou judge Aholah and Aholibah?" Now, if you go back to the first of this chapter, you will find out that the Aholah is Samaria and Aholibah is Jerusalem. "Yea, declare unto them their abominations, that they have committed adultery, and blood is in their hands, and with their idols they have committed adultery, and have also caused their sons, whom they bear unto Me, to pass for them through the fire to devour them. Moreover, this they have done unto Me. They have defiled My sanctuary in the," what day? The same day. "And have profaned My Sabbaths. For when they had slain their children to" what? to their idols, then they came the same day into my sanctuary to profane it, and lo, thus have they done in the midst of my house. And furthermore, that ye have sent for men to come from far, unto whom a messenger was sent, and lo, they came, for whom thou didst wash thyself, paintest thine eyes, and deckedest thyself with ornaments, and satest upon a stately bed, and a table prepared before it, whereupon thou hast set mine incense and mine oil. And we could go on and read, but it really isn't necessary, is it? Isn't that amazing? The same day. You noticed that, didn't you? I noticed you. That really stood out to you. It stood out to me, too. It had to. But look over in Jeremiah. Chapter 7 of Jeremiah. Jeremiah says, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, stand in the gate of the Lord's house, and proclaim there this word, and say, hear the word of the Lord, all ye of Judah, that enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Trust ye not in lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. Here's some of those exceeding spiritual people. Right? Always, today is always going about praise the Lord. For if ye thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if ye thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if ye oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after other gods to your hurt. You notice that everywhere, it's always going to other gods. It always comes down to this, going to other gods. Then will I cause you to dwell in this place. Well, I don't know, did I finish that verse, to your hurt? But that's what going to other gods always comes down to, really, doesn't it? It comes down to our hurt. Then will I cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. But here's listen to this. Behold, he told them up here not to trust in lying words, because they did trust in lying words. But now he says, you trust in lying words again. That cannot profit. Now here's what he said. Will you steal and murder and commit adultery and bear and swear falsely and do what? What's next? And burn incense to who? Baal. And walk after other gods whom ye know not. And then do what? Yeah, come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say what? We are delivered to do all these abominations. Is this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, even I have seen it, saith the Lord.
That's exactly what this is called, liberty.
Yes. They're calling it liberty. But this is an admonition to you and to me, and I believe that God is so merciful to us in this particular age, in our time, to bring this forcefully to us, because, folks, what is idolatry? To covet is idolatry. And folks, that's what this nation is all about, is coveting. Do you understand that's what the thing of lust is? That Paul is talking about here, that we're not to lust after those things as they lusted, those evil things. In the 7th chapter of Romans, the apostle says that I had not known coveting, or lust, rather, except the Lord had said, thou shalt not covet. But the apostle also says that coveting is idolatry. We need to be close to God that we do not fall for the temptations of the devil. Do we want to provoke the Lord to jealousy? I don't think you do. Why? Because what is jealousy? I mean, what is the effects of jealousy? Oh, it's a fire that burns. It's a fire that burns that, you know what, the only thing that will satisfy and quench that fire is vengeance. That's the only thing that will satisfy, for instance, a jealous husband. Just vengeance. Or a jealous wife, right? It's just vengeance. And God will take vengeance upon all those who have not worshipped Him in spirit and in truth. Now, we're out of time. But we haven't actually finished this chapter. But I have to confess, I struggled with how the latter part of this chapter relates to that idolatry. It's almost like Paul is just going over again what he went over in chapter 8. But it's not the same thing. And I'm not going to take a lot of time this morning explaining the difference in that. But I will say this, that I've come to the conclusion that what Paul is telling us here in the latter part of this 10th chapter is that this idolatry is against God. It's against yourself. It is against everybody that you are associated with. It not only affects you, but it affects your church, it affects your family, It affects your friends. It affects your neighbors. It affects your loved ones. It doesn't stop with you. It would be bad enough if it stopped with you. But it doesn't. There are always those that are looking at you. And while they may not follow your good example, they will follow your evil example. Believe that? They may, if God is gracious, they may follow your good example. But they will follow your evil example. And even those that are God's people will have a tendency to follow your evil example. No wonder the apostle said, give none offense, neither to the Jew, nor to the Gentile, nor to the church of God. Now somebody might be thinking, man, this is hard. But you know, it really isn't. It's like we've talked about earlier. It's not about dying. That's what most people think when you talk about things like this. Well, then I can't do this, and I can't do that, and I can't do something else. And No, that's not what it's about. You see, Christianity is not about not doing things. It's about doing things. It's not about not getting entangled with the world, but it is about loving God. And if you love God, you don't have to worry about being entangled in the world. Why? Because you can't do both. Isn't that what he said? You can't partake of the Lord's table and the table of devils. You can't partake of the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. So we are to be followers of those that are good. So Paul says, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. See, that's what it's all about. It is following Christ. As long as we're walking with Christ, the devils flee, don't they? We don't have a problem with idolatry. But the God of this world is always walking about as what? A roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Oh, may our faithful Lord keep us every day, every hour, fleeing from idolatry by coming unto Him in worship, in praise, adoration, giving honor and glory to His name through Jesus Christ.